The Sports Gambling Podcast is brought to you today by Amazon. Amazon, your lead pipe lock for online retail. Log on to sportsgamblingpodcast.com and click the Amazon link to support the podcast. Welcome, everyone, to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I am Sean, stacking the money green with my partner in picks, Ryan, Real Money Kramer. Ryan, this Sergio Garcia, he's been going back and forth with Tiger Woods. It all started Players Championship, of course. Tiger Woods was my prediction. I didn't even think I...
Yeah, by the way, good call, Sean.
I know. I didn't brag about it on the last podcast. I forgot about it. I bragged about it on the Twitter.
You know why you forgot about it, Sean?
No, why is that?
You forgot to actually bet on it.
Hey, Ryan, that doesn't matter.
Oh, sorry. Pulling back the curtain too much?
Yeah, come on. I haven't had a control problem, but I still know good picks when I see them.
Yep.
I told you Tiger Woods would win the Players' Championship. He did at plus 600. That was partly my reasoning, was that Tiger Woods at plus 600 was a steal, I thought.
The way
he's playing in non-majors, it's a good bet. Now, taking Tiger Woods plus 250 in a major, the majors are where he gets in his head. Golf's a mental game, Ryan.
Yep.
It's a 12-inch game played between the... You're two
inches. I think the saying is actually it's a game of inches, right?
The 12 inches between your ears?
Yeah, for me maybe, but the 6 inches between most people's ears.
All right. Yeah, you do have a gigantic head. Yep. Plus 600, so it all comes down to Garcia felt like Tiger Woods was swinging during his backswing, or what was the issue?
So basically what went down was Garcia – so Tiger Woods was in the woods –
yes.
Couldn't really see Sergio. Either he had been told by a marshal or basically he thought Sergio had hit. He pulled a club out of his bag, which caused the crowd to make some noise. And I guess this happened during his backswing. Sergio was not happy. Blah, blah, blah. Sergio kind of made it a bigger deal than it was. It seemed odd. He then went on to talk about how Tiger is not the nicest guy to play with and all this other shit. It seemed like awkwardly, like he's really jealous of this guy. They came up, they were both phenoms at the same time coming up, and Tiger Woods turned into the guy everyone thought he would, and Sergio is basically living out the Phil Mickelson career until this point. Like, good, but just not good enough. Not even Phil Mickelson. So anyway, I guess Sergio was at the European Tour Awards dinner Tuesday night. And he was asked if he'd be inviting Woods to dinner during next month's U.S. Open.
Well, now, I'm just going to jump in. Like, the day when you said, did I hear about the latest between Tiger and Sergio, I thought you were talking about, because there was a report just a couple days before that said Sergio, quote, said he would shake Tiger Woods' hand the next time he sees him. So when you said that, did I hear? I was like, no, I didn't. That didn't seem that newsworthy to me.
So at this European Tour function, when he was asked if he'd be inviting Woods to dinner during next month's U.S. Open, he, and that was asked in jest, he responded by saying, we'll have him around every night. Garcia said, we'll serve him fried chicken. Now, this article on ESPN, first of all, that's hilarious because you're just being racist. Like, you're not accidentally, oh, I just thought he liked fried chicken, or, oh, it's just an American food. No.
First off, it is weird that there's such a negative, I mean, I get it. For whatever reason, it's a sensitive food, but Really, we should go back to the idea of, like, why is that considered such a it's like a tune to using a racial slur.
Like, yeah, like Dave Chappelle said, it's in the encyclopedia.
it's just like if I said, oh, hey, Italian guy, you want pizza or something. For whatever reason, I understand the black community, it's super sensitive. I don't know what brought about that sensitivity. To me, that's funny. But also, it's a known thing that is kind of, you're making a racial statement.
Yeah,
there.
It's one of those things where it's not okay to say that.
It's like grape soda.
Not okay to say that. That being said, haven't met a black guy who doesn't like fried chicken.
Generally,
But I like fried chicken.
Chappelle nailed the.
Yeah.
He had a great bit about it. He's like, I always thought I loved fried chicken because it was delicious. Like, yes, a lot of people like fried chicken. Yeah,
turns out he was genetically predisposed
now, why
to
is that,
fried chicken.
Why is that derogatory? I have no idea. But obviously, it's a known thing in the same way that grape soda is considered derogatory or whatever. He went out of his way to make a derogatory remark.
Well, they go on to say, this ESPN article, fried chicken references are associated as a racial stereotype with African Americans. Thank you, ESPN. A similar comment got Fuzzy Zoeller in trouble following
Fuzzy
the
Zeller. That's Zeller, who it was. Because we were
following talking. The 1997 Masters when he quipped that fried chicken would be served at the following year's champions dinner, which Wood would host as defending champion.
Now, that's horribly... No, that's just, there's no place for that, Ryan.
Yeah.
We can't really be surprised that golf is racist. I mean, they just started allowing, if it wasn't for Tiger Woods, African Americans probably wouldn't be allowed on a lot of golf courses. So it shouldn't be shocking that golf is like the staunchest, kind of stiffest.
Yeah, it's hilarious how, like, we talked about it earlier. It's hilarious how Augusta, the Masters, Augusta National Course, is given this, like, pass on how essentially racist they are. They just let women on the course. Like, do you remember when they were the women were protesting? And the news story was like, you know, it was... The news basically was like, oh, it's okay that they're making them protest, like, a mile down the street. It's their right. It's like, what?
It is weird how, yeah, I think Bob Costas recently went off saying that he would have trouble calling the Masters without bringing that up because Jim Nance never brings it up.
Uh-huh.
And it is funny, like sometimes the Masters have a history of people saying, like of corporations saying they're not going to donate, and the Masters just going, okay, like you don't want to sponsor the Masters? Fine.
Yeah.
Like they...
They don't care. And as someone, Sean, have you ever been to Augusta?
No.
Might as well still have slaves. The way people talk. I was in Augusta, and you know, I went to school in the South in Virginia, but nothing. Easily the most racist place I've been to in the country, in the modern era, we'll call it.
Really?
I mean, just yeah. Yeah, basically.
That's crazy.
Yeah, of course, Garcia had to apologize. I apologize for any offense that may have been caused by my comment on stage during the European Tour Players Award Dinner. Doesn't even reference what he said. Garcia said, I answered a question that was clearly made towards me as a joke with a silly remark, but in no way was this comment meant in a racist manner. Oh, you were just joking. I get it.
I mean, I guess in his defense, he did make a joke, but it was a racist joke.
Yeah.
And you know you're going to catch shit for that.
Yeah. So, on Monday, at a media day for AT&T National in Washington, Woods was asked if he would reach out to Garcia to clear the air. Woods drew laughter when he simply said no.
Yeah, I don't think Woods doesn't have any trouble moving on and leaving things crappy. I mean, you could look at his personal life. He just moved on. He's fine.
If you're Tiger Woods, you got to be like, well, first of all, this guy doesn't play every event. Second, he's not that good, so I'll rarely be playing with him. Look, this is pretty hilarious, though.
It is just great golf drama. You don't see it a lot. These kind of random golf rivalries. It was supposed to be... The next big golf rivalry was going to be Rory and Tiger. Rory kind of hasn't lived up to the hype with his play, and Tiger's kind of bringing him under the Nike golf wing, and so they're kind of like almost seemingly coming off as friends. I don't know if it's just a publicity thing,
I think Tiger realizes that his going forward, although he does still think he's going to win and he will be successful, his bread will also be buttered with, you know,
developing
these rivalries with these young, you know, these young up and coming. He knows what it's like. He was there once.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is funny how over time, you know, whether it was Adam Scott or Sergio Garcia or all these guys that have come up and supposed to be the next big thing that's going to compete with Tiger. And at the end of the day, I mean, I don't know if you saw the post tournament press conference when he was basically like, I know all y'all in this room thought I was finished. I didn't think I was finished. They asked if he was surprised. He's like, no, I didn't think I was finished. You guys did. I didn't think I was finished.
Yeah, I mean, you got to love Tiger. He still has his swagger. He still has his mojo.
He would have been really good at any sport in terms of, like, the killer instinct, just because...
Yeah, he's basically, like, he reminds me a lot of Kobe Bryant on the golf course. Same sort of commitment, same sort of issues with women off the court, same dad.
You know, he didn't rape anybody. Got easy now.
Well, he had infidelity issues, Ryan, whether or not that was... consensual, the incident in Colorado.
Yeah, I don't think you settle out of court when things are
I don't
consensual.
Know. Well, maybe he doesn't. I don't know. There is something to be said that maybe some stuff went down that he didn't want to become public knowledge. Or maybe he realizes, hey, it's going to come down to her word against mine, and you don't want to, I don't know, maybe he didn't feel like it was a good case.
Wasn't worth it. The juice wasn't worth the squeeze.
But yeah, he did have... Tiger does have crazy competitive drive that would make him successful in any sport.
You could argue that golf is, I mean, it's a solo sport. And it, I mean, anyone who's played golf, just to be able to hit shot after shot that's good is really hard. Really hard.
Well,
like,
yeah.
Imagine having to sink a putt. Like that putt he made in the U.S. Open, it was like a 20-foot putt. He has to sink this putt to send it to a playoff. Fucking nails it.
And, Ryan, you touched on another thing. For as much as Tiger has fallen from grace and been like, oh, my God, he's no longer the golfer he was. He's had this bad run. He's got swing problems, injury issues. The mental fall he had from the scandal itself, no one has stepped up. There hasn't been one definitive person who has been even close to the next Tiger. No one has even been the guy in this Tiger era of him not being the guy.
And it really showed how impressive what Tiger did at a young age, because as soon as Rory got up there, he just started partying and you know, crushing. And I don't know. It's just one of those things, like,
well, yeah, but Tiger apparently was partying, but he has this discipline that he was also able to still not have it affect his golf game.
At the end of the day, I mean, there's not too many people in the world that can say if they're playing their game, they can't be beat.
Yeah, and maybe Tiger's still at that place. I don't know. We'll see.
I think he should. He didn't even play at the top of his game in this tournament.
But really, you can't say he's back until he wins another major.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean... I wouldn't be surprised.
That's what Tiger cares about. He cares about winning majors. And for him, that's that last mental hurdle. I'll say Tiger's back. I'll crown Tiger back officially when he wins another major.
Yep.
All right, Ryan. So we touched on the Sergio Tiger battle, the drama.
Yeah.
Let's check in. Western Conference playoffs.
Oh.
Spurs up 2-0. Just wrapped game 2 here. Wow, San Antonio was up huge, up by 18, came all the way back.
Memphis did.
Yeah, sorry. Memphis was down 18. They came all the way back to tie it up. 85-85 going into overtime. I tweeted out the under as the lock of the night at 180.5.
Highway robbery, Sean.
That was the worst. I don't know if you saw the – I think it came in right at 181. There was a – oh, man, there was a two – who was it?
The backup point guard, Joseph, who spent most of the year in the D-League.
Yeah, he asked to go to the D-League. He missed the first free throw. They were up by 3, and then he hits the second one, which is big on two fronts. A, he missed that first one. If he would have hit both, that would have been 5 points, and that's exactly where the spread was at.
Yep.
Instead, he misses one and makes one, so he gets the over, but not the push, if you had the Spurs laying five?
Question, Sean.
Yes.
Don't you feel the same that you felt after the first two games of the Clippers-Memphis series?
Oh, that that Memphis is just waiting to make their run. Now, you bring up a good point, Ryan.
San Antonio's looked like the better team. That one of the games ended up being closer than it should have been. And then Memphis just kind of got themselves together. It seems like Memphis is slowly figuring it out, the same they did in the Clippers. And looking at the Clippers series in hindsight, it did seem like it was a slow burn. So I'm really interested to see Game 3. I think Game 3 might be a game I pounce on. Little Memphis minus two action.
Yeah. No, I still like my prediction of Spurs to win the series, probably in seven. But there is a lot of similarities, and you don't have to go back too far. You go back to last year, the Western Conference Finals, where the Spurs jumped out to a 2-0 lead, only to blow that to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Now, is this where San Antonio hits the wall again, or is this where their experience comes into play against the Grizzlies, who have never gotten this far?
You know the difference? I think the difference to the two teams is you know what San Antonio is going to keep doing the same thing, and they did it really well in Game 1. They did it really well tonight for most of the game. But I just think Memphis starts adapting, and they slowly start making it harder for you to take away the pieces that you've been taking away. And hey, I'm interested to see Game 3.
Zebo did seem to come out of his shell in the second half of that game, too. So I think when that guy gets hot, it's going to be tough. Now, obviously Memphis has to win these next two. But then what do you think, Ryan? How do you think the rest of this series shakes out?
I think it's probably going to go 6 or 7.
Yeah, I almost don't see how it goes 7 because I think Memphis is going to win these next two, and I don't see how they don't win Game 6 at home. So even if either San Antonio wins Game 5 or even if Memphis wins Game 5, and the Spurs team with their back against the wall, man, Connolly, what a... It's looking good, man. He's just looking good. Tony Parker's defense has not been great in the playoffs.
He's getting old.
Also, that flagrant foul. So that was a big play.
That was crazy.
Memphis was down 4 points, breakaway. They got a flagrant foul, Manu Ginobili. So they got the two free throws, then they got the ball, and then hit another bucket to tie it up at 85. My question is, now they reviewed the flagrant foul. How can you have a flagrant foul on a guy's off shooting arm? That's what's crazy to me. He did not make contact with the head. Now, like, I just don't understand that call. How is that a flagrant? I get it, he pulled him down, but
fouls are no longer called on. It's just like how bad it looked, really. That's what it usually comes down to.
Yeah, but I understand making that flagrant call in the moment, but when you review that, he clearly just grabbed his off arm and pulled it down. I don't see how that's a flagrant foul.
Yeah, I guess they determined that could have, that was unnecessary. Because he didn't grab him till after he was in the air, right?
Yeah, but still.
Yeah, they made a big difference between, like, wrapping a guy up while he's on the ground and then, trying to basically pull a guy down because that can really cause injury. That's really where it's coming from.
Yeah, I don't know. That it didn't feel like a flagrant to me.
No.
That felt a little ticky-tacky, right?
Yeah.
A little ticky-tacky. All right, so now we're going to Game 3. What do you think the spread is in Game 3? Memphis by 3?
Well, just based on the fact that San Antonio's been favored by 5, so...
Memphis by 4, maybe?
No,
by 3,
no.
It
should be, assuming the 3.5, it should, they're getting 1.5 on top of that, so it should be about 2.
Okay.
I'd guess.
I like Memphis minus 2.
I like Memphis
game 3.
In that game. If you are a Memphis supporter like I am, you might maybe throw a couple bucks on the series price. Probably going to be sitting at like plus 280, plus 300 maybe.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it probably goes over the 300 mark.
And yeah, I don't know. And then, I don't know. I still like Memphis, mainly because I want that series to be good, because I'm not confident the Eastern Conference Finals will be a series. As we talked about last time, I do have the Pacers 8-1 to win the East. They are going off at plus 475, so I'm getting some value in my bet. Heat are minus 650. Is there really any value in that?
Well, I mean, I think there's value in betting the Heat minus 650 because it's a sure thing.
This thing goes six, though, right?
No, I don't think so. I don't think... how does Indiana win more than one game?
Game one, Heat minus eight.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think, I'll say it like just like the Knicks series, if the refs let the Pacers have all the contact that they require to be a good team, I really think LeBron has showed he can get frustrated. If they can somehow get him frustrated.
Yeah, but Dwayne Wade.
And Wade is not healthy, clearly.
Yeah, but when he gets that cortisone shot, he is, and he's attacking the rim like he does.
I have had a cortisone shot. It's magical. You just feel good.
I love how he's like has this bloody tape job on his knee, and he's like barely walking. Then he goes to the locker room to have his knee retaped, comes out, and is jumping around with no problem whatsoever.
Well, Wade's also – he's always been a bit of the, ham up the – a little of that Kobe school.
Yeah.
With the blood, he's going to the Curt Schilling school of heroism. Heroism.
It's a bit of a drama queen.
Yeah, so plus, I don't know. What do you think? Minus eight, over under 183?
I'll tell you, my problem is the Indiana Pacers, after their press conference of beating the Knicks, they looked way too happy to be in the Eastern Conference Finals.
But weren't they there last year? Isn't this a rematch of the Eastern Conference Finals? They said it's just another team. Just another team.
Well, you play the clip of their coach. He says it's not phrased like that at all. He just goes, "Yeah, the Miami Heat. We're down to four teams. The Miami Heat is just another team that we have to beat if we want to win a championship."
Like, yeah, yeah. He was actually being very like political, and then. But the weird thing is that LeBron reacted. That's what makes me think that they're already in LeBron's head a little bit.
No, I think LeBron is searching for motivation.
So
that's the only problem with LeBron is that the games come too easy to him. He doesn't have that crazy competitive drive that Kobe or Michael has because the game's been so much easier. It's easy for LeBron. When in his entire basketball career has he not been the best player on the floor? It's never happened. That's why he doesn't have crazy desire. He plays the game the best way he knows how. He plays fundamentally sound. But it doesn't. He'll never have that quite insane heart.
Yeah, he wanted to point out that they're not just another team, Sean.
Yeah, he said they're not just another team. What are you? We're a great team.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's going to be a real interesting series.
All right, Ryan. I'm gonna just play the. I think LeBron makes a statement here. I like the Heat minus eight game one, and give me the over.
Okay.
183.
All right. Yeah, I mean, if the games go over, the Heat don't really... I mean, the Pacers don't really have a chance. All right, next up, draft lottery happened tonight.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
So
something
we're
else I don't really care about, but we'll talk about because it's sports.
Exactly.
Pretty, by all accounts, not a great year to win the lottery. The consensus number one pick is not going to even be on the basketball court probably until 2014.
He said best case Christmas.
Yeah, that's like the Super Bowl weekend for.
I heard the same thing about Andrew Bynum. Still waiting for him to see time.
Derrick Rose, too, right?
Yeah, the only floor Andrew Bynum saw was the floor of the bowling alley that he injured his knee on. Then, meanwhile, he's dancing around in clubs in Philadelphia. I can't wait to have that piece of garbage out of the city.
Yeah, bad city to go do that in. They do not like him.
I saw it coming a mile away, and that's why I was so annoying. Yeah. I was like, this Andrew Bynum, he has a horrible attitude. He's a gigantic baby. He's never going to work in Philadelphia.
Yep.
He ran out Doug Collins because Doug Collins hates big, fat, whiny losers.
All right. So, yeah, the lottery happened. Orlando had the most ping pong balls. They end up with the second pick. Cleveland gets the first pick. Which,
now, this Cleveland team.
If Noel's is any good, that's a nice – he's a nice player to go with Kyrie Irving.
It's a pretty nice backcourt.
Cleveland, Orlando, Washington. Washington's another team. They were – when John Wall came back, this team was basically 500 the rest of the year.
Ryan, I feel like not enough people are talking about the Wizards. They got the number three pick. With a healthy Wall, they were playing competitive basketball.
More than that, they I thought I lost that bet for sure, and they managed to still go over 27 and a half wins. I don't know who even, I mean, who, I don't know who the third pick will be.
Yeah.
I mean, Trey Burke's the, after Noel's and McLemore, it's Trey Burke. Maybe they'll go after the kid from Indiana, Dia Alopo or whatever his name is. What's his name, Sean?
I don't know. I have
Big
no idea.
College basketball fan, right?
I have no idea.
And then, all right, so we got Cleveland, Orlando, Washington, Charlotte, Phoenix, the new-look New Orleans Pelicans. Speaking of Charlotte, Charlotte is applying to change their name back to the Bobcats. Back to the Hornets. For some reason, that's an 18-month process.
What? I thought they were officially the Hornets again.
Why does that take 18 months?
I feel bad for the five people that have a ton of Bobcats gear.
I don't. It's gonna be it's gonna be like a cool thing to wear if you're a rapper going forward.
I guess, yeah, some throwbacks. Bobcats gear from the Michael Jordan era of ownership.
And then you have the Sacramento Kings, who have been forced to stay in Sacramento. David Stern's last hurrah.
Yeah, David Stern, his whole thing was trying to get his last goal before he left was trying to get Seattle a team, and he wasn't able to pull it off.
And then
anyone excited about the Kings staying? I haven't seen any like Sacramento Kings fans really excited. Doesn't seem like this new
Sacramento
arena.
Shouldn't have it. I mean, California has. What, four teams? That's too many. Detroit, Minnesota, Portland, Philly. Oklahoma City has the 12th pick, which is a lottery pick. Dallas and Utah. Seems unfair that Oklahoma City gets a lottery pick, but...
Yeah, what is that, some sort of trade?
It is from Toronto via Houston. So it was part of that Harden deal, I believe.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, much like most years, we'll get like best case scenario is you get like 4 to 5 perennial all-stars out of the draft. With a weak draft like this, I mean, I think you're just hoping, you know. I would set the over under. So there's 30 picks in the first round. I would set the over under at probably like 20 guys even make the opening day roster.
Doesn't it seem like basketball, there's the least amount of surprises when it comes
to. Yeah, and it's weird too, because like even though. So there's only two rounds, but if you're not a lottery pick, if you're not a top 14 pick, nothing's guaranteed. You have to make the team, basically. So being a first round pick in the NBA means nothing.
Well, if you're not a lottery pick, especially. Now, yeah, it's weird. In football, I guess maybe there's just so many more positions, rounds, so many more opportunities for kind of guys to go unnoticed. But it seems like in basketball, it's much easier to predict. At least it doesn't seem like there's any surprises of like guys walking on, unrestricted, undrafted free agents becoming Hall of Famers. That never happens.
But at the same token, one guy rarely changes a football team. You rarely see a team have a great draft and now they're a changed team. And in the NBA, because it's 20% of the people, 20% of your starting lineup can change in the draft. And in the cases of the traditional power drafts, Orlando gets Dwight Howard. They're a changed team. LeBron goes to Cleveland. They're a changed,
I love those examples. Both of who the city just left. Hates there.
Yeah, but the point is that you can, depending on the year, a top Kyrie Irving looks like he might be the real deal.
Could be a game changer.
Guys.
Could be the guy that Dan Gilbert promised the city of Cleveland when he put out that hate message in Comic Sans after LeBron left. Ryan, I think let's wrap up on this.
Oh.
Your buddy, your pal, your Superman, Dwight Howard.
Yep.
Considering changing teams again, what would you do if you're Dwight Howard and why?
I would talk to Chris Paul.
Oh.
Figure it out.
So you go where Chris Paul goes.
I think Chris Paul realizes that the Clippers, they're limited, right? Dwight Howard and Chris Paul go somewhere with a nice offensive four.
Has Vinny Del Negro been officially
fired?
Okay.
I think if you're Dwight Howard and you're serious about actually wanting to win, you go play with Chris Paul because there's no one. I mean, now that Kobe's kind of in the twilight of his career, I would argue that Chris Paul is like the next man up in terms of having that fire.
Now, do you think Chris Paul is going to leave the Clippers?
You know, not much news has been spoken about this. I think probably not, but I think he's definitely looking to entertain it.
But where would he go? I think that's the problem. I think he likes L.A. I think he likes playing for the Clippers. I think he likes Blake.
I think there's only a couple of teams he could go to, but...
Yeah, where could he go and get a deal and Dallas. Be featured? You think Dallas?
Dirk, well, this is where I'm going with this. Dirk has said he would take a pay cut.
So you think Dirk takes a pay cut?
But just imagine
that
lineup: Dwight Howard and Chris Paul with Dirk. I mean, that's the perfect front court compliment.
You think we're thinking a big three of Dirk, Dwight, and Chris Paul?
That's intriguing because you have the pass first point guard with a defensive first center and a 7 foot power forward who can score.
Yeah.
They complement each other better. You could argue they complement each other better than any of the other big threes, other than maybe Boston's, because Boston was really...
But you're overlooking a huge fact, and that's Dwight Howard's a huge fucking pussy and cannot compete in this league. Yeah. I think Dwight Howard just has no heart and is one of the softer big men of our era, with the exception of Andrew Bynum. But I think Andrew Bynum's more crazy than soft.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. We'll see.
All right. If I was Dwight, I would stay in L.A., try and work it out. I think that's probably your best bet at winning a championship or saving your legacy.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe go to Houston. I don't know. I guess you're right. If you could put that deal together.
Dallas.
If you could put that deal together to go to Dallas with Chris Paul, that'd be pretty awesome. But
so they have, just real quick, they have Washington taking Otto Porter, who is the small forward out of Georgetown, who seems a little scary because he's the guy that, he's one of those pro prospects, didn't really show up, Georgetown didn't do much. So here's the mock draft, real quick.
How can he be drafted number 3 and not show up in college?
Noel Cavs, because it's a size thing, long, athletic.
Yeah, no, I know, it's...
Noel to the Cavs, Trey Burke to the Magic. See, I think Trey Burke is the opposite of Porter. Trey Burke's a guy who might not have been a huge prospect to start out with, but he's got heart.
Yeah.
Porter to the Wizards, McLemore to the Bobcats, Oladipo to the Suns. That's what I was trying to say his name.
Oh.
Some dude from Maryland, some 7-footer to New Orleans that I don't know. Michael Carter-Williams, the lanky dude from Syracuse that looked like he was 15, to the Kings. Some dude named Anthony Bennett, don't know who that is, don't know this next guy, but Cody Zeller to the Sixers, to your Sixers.
Sweet.
Garbage. He plays below the rim. You saw that one game against Syracuse.
Dude, he was getting
dominated. So they have Oklahoma City taking some Steven Adams dude, some kid from 7-footer from Pittsburgh. Yeah, Shabazz Muhammad, UCLA kid, going to the Jazz. That doesn't really make sense. But Shabazz Muhammad was a top prospect. I feel like him falling to 14 seems a little bit like a slide, right?
Yeah, but that's because of his attitude. Listen,
so Mason Plumlee going to the Hawks, he's not an NBA player. What's going on here? God. I actually like that Dang kid from Louisville going to the Bulls to play with the other Dang.
Unrelated?
Unrelated. I think they even spell their names differently.
Double Dang.
Shane Larkin, Barry Larkin's kid, going to the Jazz.
I could see that.
Oh, Glenn Rice Jr. going to the Knicks. Another bad draft pick there. Jeff Whitey going to the Nets. Wow, that's a nice... Brooke Lopez and Withy.
Look out, New Jersey.
And the last guy who people might know, Tim Hardaway Jr.
Where's he headed?
Nuggets. That's a nice fit for him.
That would be
that
a good place.
That does feel like a good spot.
George Karl would be a good mentor for him. All right, Ryan. I think that'll do it for the Sports Gambling Podcast. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Gambling Podcast. Rate, review, share on Stitcher and the iTunes for the Sports Gambling Podcast. I am Sean, stacking the money green, and he is Ryan.
I feel like one thing we didn't touch on is Kevin Durant gave $1 million to whatever relief efforts. That's pretty gangster, considering like some people were saying that they're going to give $1,000 for every home run they hit or something. Durant just stepped up and said, I'll give $1 million. Durant really doesn't do anything wrong.
No, he is the man.
Yeah, seriously.
Except you got to take it to the hole in that last shot.
Yeah.
Kramer, let it ride.